Several of Davenport's clerks emerged from the bank to begin the task of unloading the gold. Bo followed the clerks inside and watched them place the crates full of gold bars into the vault, while Scratch and Chloride stayed outside to keep an eye on the wagon. It didn't take long to get everything unloaded, including the bags of gold dust in the compartment under the seat. Davenport wrote out a receipt and gave it to Martha.
There you are, Miss Sutton. I assume you'll want some of the funds added to your drawing account?
That's right. I'm going to stock up on supplies for my workers and send them back out to the mines with the wagon.
While they were making those arrangements, Chloride eyed the saloons on the eastern end of the settlement, in the area sometimes known as the Badlands.
I could sure use a drink to warm me up. The sun may be shining, but it's still a pretty chilly day.
I was thinking more about getting something to eat.
Yeah, that ain't a bad idea. And I got something on my mind I need to ask Ms. Pendleton about.
You're not thinking about marriage again, are you? I know the idea crops up every time you meet a pretty widow.
Especially a pretty widow who can cook. But no, I reckon I know by now I ain't never gonna settle down. I got a question for the lady anyhow.
All right, but don't be surprised if she slaps your face.
It ain't that kind of question. Chloride, you coming along?
I reckon so. Coffee don't cut the trail dust as well as a shot of red eye, but it don't muddle the mind as much neither.
Bo told Martha Sutton they'd see her later. Then the three men walked down the street to the cafe. Sue Beth didn't look surprised to see them when they walked in and came up to the counter.
I've been hearing all about your exploits. I guess I should have let you pay for those meals a couple of nights ago after all. I just thought that I'd never see you again.
I can pay you now.
Don't you dare. Next time, though, I'll have a little more faith in you. I assume there will be a next time?
You mean are we going to bring in another shipment from the Golden Queen? I reckon we will, just as soon as we can manage it.
Amazing. Well, what can I do for the conquering heroes?
It's a little early for supper, but how about some coffee and a piece of pie?
Apple or peach?
Peach!
I think I'll go for apple myself.
Sue Beth cut pieces of pie and put them on saucers.
You're gonna ruin your appetites, you know, eating pie this soon before supper.
Considering the food you dish up, ma'am, there ain't no chance of that.
Scratch sat down on one of the stools at the counter, and Bo and Chloride did likewise. Sue Beth placed the saucers in front of the three men.
You know, Ms. Pendleton, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Is it? Out here on the frontier like this, it's hard to keep up with holidays.
Well, yes, and it is. Where Bo and me come from back in Texas, we always have a big feast on Thanksgiving with turkey and all the trimmings.
I believe that tradition started with the Pilgrims, not in Texas. But go on, Mr. Morton.
Well, ma'am, I was just wondering, if we can come up with a turkey, how'd you feel about fixing it for us?
A Thanksgiving feast, you mean?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that can be arranged, Mr. Morton.
Oh, I'd be much obliged, ma'am. You don't know how much. I can't remember how long it's been since Bo and me had ourselves a real Thanksgiving feast.
Well, this year you really have something to be thankful for, don't you? You brought that gold shipment in successfully, and you didn't get killed by the Deadwood Devils.
After they finished their pie and coffee, Chloride drove the wagon down to Hanson's livery stable. The Texans walked along behind, leading their mounts. When they got there, the wizened liveryman greeted them enthusiastically.
Miss Sutton came by and told me you'd be leaving the wagon and those mules here for the night. Oh, ain't no charge. She's taking care of it already.
I hope you gave her a fair price.
Of course I did. I treat everybody fair.
All right, I'll take your word for it. We'll be back in the morning. We'd like to have the mule team hitched to the wagon early the next morning for the return trip to the Golden Queen Mine.
Whatever you want.
They went to Martha's office next and found the young woman entering figures in a ledger. She looked up at them with a smile.
Come in. I was just adding the shipment you brought in today to the balance sheets. I have to admit, it makes things look a lot better.
And Mr. Kiefer said there's that much again ready to ship. We'll be heading back up to the mine first thing in the morning to get it. Be back in town day after tomorrow if there aren't any problems. If that's what you want, that is. You're still the boss.
The sooner we get the gold here, the better as far as I'm concerned. When I get through here, I'll go over to Bullock and Starr's store and give Mr. Starr the order for the supplies I want you to take with you. He'll have it ready for you early tomorrow morning.
Sounds good.
Wait a minute. Tell me, how are things at the mine? Are the men still in good spirits? They haven't given up on me, have they?
No, ma'am. As far as I can tell, everybody's working hard and pulling for you to make a go of it.
I agree. They're a mite worried, of course, considering everything that's been going on.
How could they not be?
That's right. But like Scratch says, they're still on your side.
Thank you. I'm going to do everything in my power to see to it that their loyalty is rewarded. Now, what are the three of you doing tonight?
We figured we'd get some supper after a while, then head back out to Chlorite's cabin, I reckon.
Why don't you stay here in town? You can get rooms in the hotel for the night. I'll pay for them.
We'll be fine at Chlorite's. You can find a better use for your money than that.
Are you certain?
Yes, ma'am. Shoot. I reckon old reprobates like us wouldn't feel comfortable staying in some fancy hotel.
The Grand Central isn't exactly what you'd call fancy. But if you're sure, I suppose it's all right. Have a good evening, and I'll see you in the morning before you leave.
Bo smiled and nodded and ushered his companions outside.
I noticed you didn't ask me whether I wanted to spend the night in a fancy hotel.
Well, with the kind of digs you got, I didn't think you'd even consider it.
Come on, let's get some supper. Unless you're still full from that pie.
I could eat.
After they had eaten supper and traded some more pleasant conversation with Sue Beth, when she could find the time in the busy cafe, Chloride once again brought up the idea of having a drink. Bo exchanged a quick glance with Scratch to confirm that the silver-haired Texan would look after the old-timer.
You and Scratch go ahead. I got another errand I want to take care of.
What errand's that?
Don't waste your breath asking. I can tell by the look on Bo's face that he's got some idea percolating around in his head. But he don't like to talk about such things until he's sure he's got the whole shooting match figured out.
It's just something I want to check on, that's all. I'll find you later at the saloon if you can tell me which one you're going to.
The Belly Union's the best. If we ain't there, try the gym.
While Scratch and Chloride headed down Main Street toward the Belly Union Saloon, Bo turned his steps the other way and headed for the sheriff's office. He was glad to see a light burning in the window, telling him that someone was there. When he went in, he found Sheriff Henry Manning sitting behind the desk.
What can I do for you?
My name's Bo Creel, Sheriff. My partner Scratch Morton and I helped bring in that gold shipment from the Golden Queen mine today.
I heard about that, of course. I also heard that you shot it out with the Deadwood Devils.
That's right. I was wondering if you'd let me take a look through the wanted posters and reward dodgers you have on hand.
You think you recognized one of the outlaws?
I didn't say that. I'd just like to check on something.
All right. Things like that are a matter of public record, after all.
The sheriff leaned over, opened a drawer in the desk, and took out a thick stack of papers that he placed on the desk.
Help yourself, Creel.
Much obliged.
If you find anything that would help me bring those thieves and murderers to justice, it's your responsibility to tell me.
I'll sure do that, Sheriff.
Bo took the reward posters and sat down in an armchair close to the pot-bellied stove, where a fire was burning merrily. As he sat there, warming himself, Bo began going through the papers, studying the pictures and descriptions of the wanted men printed on them. Those posters told a story, too. A sordid tale of lawlessness, death, and desperation. Some of the men whose likenesses adorned the posters had been prodded to their crimes by bad luck. Others, though, had been born bad. More interesting than the faces was one name under the drawing of a craggy-faced man with a short, dark beard. Tom Bardwell, wanted for bank robbery, train robbery, murder, and assault in Kansas. Also known as Black Tom, or sometimes Four Finger Tom, because the little finger on his left hand was gone, lost in some unknown accident. There was a $2,000 reward on his head, and a $500 reward, minimum, for anybody riding with him in the gang he led. The date on the poster was 2 years earlier.
It's a good thing Sheriff Manning doesn't clean these out of his desk very often.
He didn't linger long on the poster before he set it aside with the others he had gone through already. To make it look good, because he could feel Manning's eyes on him, Bo continued studying the posters, pausing now and then over one that didn't mean anything to him. When he was finished, he picked up the whole stack, tapped it on his leg to square it up, and took them back to the desk.
I appreciate it, Sheriff.
Find what you were looking for?
Not really, but thanks for letting me look anyway.
You know, A suspicious man might wonder if you were looking through those Dodgers to make sure you and that partner of yours weren't on any of them.
There's no paper out on us, Sheriff. At least not that I know of. And if there is, it's a mistake. We're peaceable, law-abiding hombres, scratching me.
Who carry guns and look like you know how to use them.
So do a lot of other men.
Other men haven't been able to shoot it out with the Deadwood Devils and stay alive. I think I'm going to be keeping my eyes on you and Morton, Creel.
That's fine. We won't be in town for long, though. We're headed back to the Golden Queen Mine tomorrow to pick up another shipment of gold.
Good luck. You're liable to need it.
Bo left the sheriff's office and walked to the Bella Union. He found Scratch and Chloride at the bar in the large, ornate saloon.
Get your errand done?
I did. Did you get your thirst taken care of?
I'm working on it. There. I reckon that'll do the job.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
They had left their horses temporarily at the livery stable. With Bo sharing his horse with Chloride, the three of them rode up the gulch to the old-timer's cabin. An icy wind whistled along the creek.
Got a hunch winter's coming early this year. We're liable to see snow before Thanksgiving.
I hope not. I gotta find a wild turkey for Sue Beth to cook up for the feast.
We'll keep our eyes open. There are bound to be a few gobblers left around here.
The old cabin was dark and quiet when they reached their destination. Bo and Scratch kept their hands near their guns until Chloride had the candle lit, just in case anybody was lurking around who shouldn't be. The old-timer poked up the ashes in the stove and got a fire burning again to take some of the chill out of the air. On a cold night like this, the best thing to do was curl up in some blankets and sleep. The Texans spread their bedrolls and turned in pretty quickly, followed shortly by Chloride getting into his bunk. They would be up before dawn to get ready for the trip back up the gulch to the mine. Long years of experience had gotten both Bo and Scratch in the habit of sleeping lightly. It didn't take much to wake them. The slightest unusual sound or any other warning of potential danger would do it. In this case, it was a smell. Bo didn't know how long he had been asleep. When his eyes suddenly opened, instantly he was fully awake. His life had depended on just such a swift reaction too many times for it to be otherwise. The sharp tang he smelled was familiar, and as he recognized it, he threw the blankets off and reached for his boots.
Scratch!
Yeah, I smell it. Coal oil.
Yeah. Wake Chloride, but try to keep him quiet. We don't want the varmints to know we're awake just yet.
There was only one explanation for the smell of coal oil being so strong inside the cabin. Somebody was splashing the stuff around outside, soaking the walls with it, getting ready to burn the cabin to the ground, with Bo, Scratch, and Chloride inside it. Moving quietly, Bo pulled on his boots, buckled on his gun belt, shrugged into his coat, picked up his hat and Winchester, and moved toward the door.
Chloride! Chloride, wake up!
What is it? What is it? Who's there? Injuns! Don't let him scalp you!
No.
Shh! Light it up!
Bo grabbed the door and jerked it open. In the sudden burst of flame, Bo caught glimpses of several men in long coats, bandana masks, and pulled down hats. The devils of Deadwood Gulch had come to call.
Keep your heads down!
More shots blasted as he ducked back and kicked the door closed. Bo whirled toward Scratch and Chloride, who were grabbing up as much of their gear as they could carry. Flames were already licking up the front wall and one of the side walls, casting a garish light on the interior of the old cabin.
Come on, out the back!
But there ain't no back door!
There's about to be!
Bo lowered his shoulder, got as much of a running start as the close confines of the cabin would allow him, and rammed into the rear wall as hard as he could. As he burst through the wall, Bo lost his balance. Scratch was there beside him a heartbeat later, and hoisted his friend back to his feet. Somewhere nearby, Chloride fired his old cap and ball pistol. Bo still had his Colt in his hand. In the nightmarish glare cast by the burning building, he snapped a shot at a masked figure he spotted near the cabin.
They're back here! They got out!
Head for the trees!
The Texans and Chloride retreated toward the pines that grew thickly on the wall of the gulch, backing away and sending bullets spraying around the cabin from Bo's Colt, Scratch's twin Remingtons, and Chloride's old horse pistol. The burning cabin itself gave them some cover because the devils had to come around it to get a shot at them. And every time one of them stepped into sight, Bo or Scratch or Chloride sent a bullet his way. They made it unscathed to the trees and got behind some of the thick trunks to continue the battle. Bo didn't expect the fight to last very long, and sure enough, it didn't. The outlaws soon took off into the night. The cabin was close enough to Deadwood that somebody in the town was likely to spot the orange glow in the sky and know that something was burning. Nothing scared people on the frontier like fire. Deadwood had several volunteer fire companies already. Some of the citizens were sure to come hurrying up the gulch to see what was going on.
Hold your fire, Chloride. They're not shooting at us anymore.
Yeah, they're gone. Took off for the tall and uncut when they saw we weren't going to cooperate with them killing us.
The hydrophobia skunks! They burned down my cabin! The dang no-good weasels!
We got our guns and most of our gear out of there. Lost our bedrolls, but we can replace them. I see that a couple of poles on the fence around the shed and the horse pen are down, so I reckon our horses spooked and busted out when the fire started. They're probably still around somewhere.
And bound to have lost our saddles, though. We'll have to ride bareback into town.
Won't be the first time, will it?
No, not hardly. When I was a kid, I reckon I must have rode 1,000 miles before I even knew what a saddle was.
Yeah, well, we ain't kids no more. None of us.
No, but I'll bet Marty Sutton will advance us the money to buy new saddles and tack.
Folks coming.
It was true. Bo saw the bobbing glow of lanterns coming up the gulch toward them. When he was able to make out one of the fire wagons from Deadwood, along with a crowd of men, he and Scratch and Chloride left the cover of the trees and walked toward the cabin. The roof had fallen in, and now the walls were collapsing as well. Showers of sparks climbed into the cold black night sky. One of the men from town spotted them.
There they are!
A group hurried forward to meet them.
What happened? Are you fellas all right?
We're fine. And as far as what happened, some of the Deadwood devils came to pay us a visit.
With a can of coal oil.
Good Lord. They tried to burn down the shack around you?
That's right. We got out just in time to swap some lead with them, but they got away.
3 times! That's 3 times the devils have gone up against you Texans, and you've come out alive every time.
Hey, what about me? I got away from them that first time when they held up the Argosy gold wagon. I reckon I'm the champion devil buster around here.
You can have the title and welcome to it, old timer.
Who you calling old timer?
Let's get some water on that debris, man. We don't want the fire spreading.
The volunteers went about the task with practiced efficiency, working the hand pump to send a spray of water from the tank on the wagon through the hose and onto what was left of the cabin.
Reckon we could get a ride back into town with you fellas? Our saddles burned up in the shed.
Sure. Where are your horses?
Around here somewhere.
The Texans weren't surprised when their mounts came trotting up a minute later. The horses were well trained and had a knack for avoiding trouble when they could. A crowd of curious bystanders was waiting in Deadwood. The news of what had happened spread rapidly.
3 cheers for the gallant Texans and their defeat of the devils! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Some of those varmints may have took off their masks and snuck back into town already. They could be in this bunch right now.
I know. And after spending months terrorizing the people around here, I don't imagine they're very happy about what's going on.
That's liable to make them try even harder to kill us.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
While Bo and Scratch were putting up their horses for the night at Hanson's livery, after all, Martha Sutton arrived with a shawl wrapped around her shoulders and a worried look on her face.
Are the three of you all right? I heard that your cabin burned down, Mr. Coleman.
Got burned down, you mean? It was them darn devils again.
They seem to have declared war on the three of you.
We've been in wars before.
Always came through all right.
Then you're not hurt?
We're fine. We lost our saddles, tack, and bedrolls in a fire, but that's all.
I'll replace those. It's my responsibility. The devils wouldn't be after you if you weren't working for me. And you'll stay in those hotel rooms after all.
We won't argue about that with you, ma'am. I'm a little curious, though, about one thing. How did you know what happened to Chloride's cabin? It's late enough that you had probably turned in for the night, hadn't you?
Philip Ramsey came to my house and told me.
Ramsey? That bookkeeper fellow who works for Nicholson?
He'd heard about it. I don't know where. But he didn't know if the three of you were all right. He thought I might want to know, since you work for me.
I didn't much cotton to that young fella.
Philip's not totally a bad sort. It's just that he works for the Argosy, and, well, Lawrence Nicholson and my father were rivals for a long time. Naturally, there's some hostility on both sides.
We'll head down to the hotel now and get some rest. Morning will come awful early, I expect.
Of course. I'm very sorry about your cabin, Mr. Coleman. I'll do anything I can to help make it up to you.
Oh, shucks, Miss Sutton. Don't worry about it too much. It was just a ramshackle old cabin that didn't even belong to me. Not really. I was just sort of squatting in it.
You lost some personal belongings, though. Just let me know what you need to replace, and I'll take care of it if I can.
Yes'm. I'll do that. Right now, though, I'm fine.
Martha insisted on going with them to the hotel and making the arrangements for their rooms. Then the three men insisted on walking her back to her house, a neat frame structure in one of Deadwood's residential neighborhoods on the slope above downtown. It was the wee hours of the morning before they were all settled down and asleep in their hotel rooms, and as Beau had predicted, he seemed to have barely closed his eyes when the built-in instinct most frontiersmen possessed woke him. A check of his pocket watch told him it would be dawn in another hour. Scratch stepped out into the hotel corridor at the same time Beau did. The Texans nodded to each other and went to the door of Chloride's room. Scratch put his ear to the panel and grinned.
Sounds like he's still sawing logs in there. We'll just have to wake him up.
Better be careful about it. He may sleep with that old horse pistol under his pillow. You saw what a ruckus he made when you woke him up earlier.
Oh, yeah. He acted like he thought old Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse were after him.
Chloride! Hey, Chloride, wake up!
What blue blazes?
Time to get up, Chloride. We got things to do and places to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hang on.
Beau and Scratch listened for more snoring, in case Chloride went back to sleep. But a few minutes later, the door opened and the old-timer emerged from the room.
All right. I'm ready to go.
They went to the livery stable first and found that Esteban was getting ready to hitch the mule team to the wagon by lantern light.
Say, Esteban, when does the saddle shop open up?
Whenever you need it to, senor. The man who runs the shop lives above it. And since he is a bachelor, you will not have to worry about disturbing his family.
All right, we'll wait a little while before we go over there. I see the cafe is open already, so we'll have some breakfast first.
Si, Senora Pendleton is there early and late. She works very hard. But what else is she to do with no man in her life? He was very hard for her when her husband died.
I'm sure it was. We'll be back after a while.
They went up the street and angled across to the Red Top. A couple of men were already at the counter drinking coffee. Sue Beth was nowhere in sight. But she emerged from the door into the kitchen a moment later.
It'll be a while before the food's ready, but I can pour coffee for you.
That'll be just fine, ma'am.
They settled down on stools at the counter while Sue Beth placed cups and saucers in front of them, and then fetched the pot from the stove.
I heard about what happened last night. I'm sorry about your cabin, Chloride.
It's my own dang fault, I reckon, for throwing in with these two wild Texas boys and making the devils mad at us.
They don't like anyone defying them, do they?
Apparently not. They'd have to be pretty upset to burn down a fella's cabin with him in it.
Are you certain it was the same bunch? There could be more than one gang of outlaws around here, you know.
That's true. But these hombres wore the same sort of outfit that the devils do. Anyway, another bunch of owl hoots would have tried to rob us. Those men last night just wanted us dead.
I've been doing some thinking, too. Last night, I heard one of the varmints give the order to light that coal oil they'd splashed around, and I'd swear it was the same fella I heard bossing the others that day they hit the Argosy gold wagon. The same one who carved the pitchforks into the foreheads of them dead guards.
But you can't be sure of that, can you?
I reckon not, but I got a feeling in my bones that I'm right. And I've learned to trust these old bones.
I got flapjacks and bacon ready.
I'll be right back.
The food was as good as always. Beau, Scratch, and Chloride enjoyed their breakfast and washed the meal down with plenty of coffee. Having their bellies full helped them get over everything that had happened the night before. When Beau went to pay for the food, Sue Beth shook her head.
Marty Sutton came by here a while ago and told me that if you stopped in for breakfast, I should just add the bill to her tab.
Miss Sutton's already up and about.
That's right. She had some coffee, then said she was on her way to Bullock and Stars. She may still be there.
We're much obliged. See you next time we're in town.
Hopefully that won't be too long.
And maybe we'll have that turkey for Thanksgiving.
I'll be waiting.
The big mercantile down the street, owned and operated by Seth Bullock and Saul Starr, took up most of a block. Martha stepped out onto the store's porch as Bo, Scratch, and Chloride approached. She was bundled in a heavy coat this morning, her breath fogging in the air in front of her, but her blonde curls hung free around her shoulders as usual.
Good morning. Mr. Starr and his clerks have the supplies ready, and they can load them as soon as you bring the wagon over.
I'll go fetch it.
I hope you don't mind. But Mr. Starr had some good saddles, and I took the liberty of buying a couple of them, along with everything else you'll need.
I'm sure they'll be fine. We appreciate it, Miss Sutton.
There hasn't been any more trouble since Mr. Coleman's cabin burned down, has there? I haven't heard about anything.
The rest of the night was plumb peaceful.
You think you'll be back tomorrow with the other load of gold?
We should be.
What will you do after that?
Keep poking around, I guess. We'd still like to find where the devil stashed all the loot from those earlier robberies.
If it's even still around here.
But we'll stay in touch. And whenever Andrew Kiefer and the men at the mine have another load ready to bring down the gulch, we'll handle that chore for you. As long as you want us, that is.
I think you can count on that, Mr. Creel. You and Mr. Morton are the only ones who've had any luck at all stopping the devils. The way things were going, the mining business in this whole area was going to be ruined. Digging the gold out of the hills doesn't do any good if you can't get it into the bank.
That's true. And I reckon the way the devils had everybody so scared was almost as bad as losing all that gold.
Worse, maybe. If things had kept on, Deadwood might have been a ghost town in another year. Now, though, people have hope again. And they have you two to thank for that.
And Chloride. That old-timer gets a mind touchy when he's left out of anything.
I heard that, Dad blasted. I ain't that much older than you, you dang Texas Roadrunner.
The trip back up the gulch and the side canyon to the Golden Queen mine was uneventful. Bo and Scratch were alert the entire way, watchful for even the tiniest hint of trouble. But nothing happened, except the wagon reached the mine with its load of supplies intact. The supplies were very welcome, too, as provisions were starting to run a little low in the cook shack. Andrew Kiefer wanted to hear all about the journey to Deadwood. He was suitably impressed when the Texans and Chloride told him about fighting off the devils, and he was livid with anger when he heard about how Chloride's cabin had been destroyed.
I'm sure Miss Sutton will offer to make good your losses as best she can.
Yeah, she already said she would. She's got bigger worries on her plate right now, though.
Such as that next load of gold. You still think there's enough on hand to justify another shipment right away, Mr. Kiefer?
There certainly is. No dust this time, but plenty of bars. I'll have the men start packing and loading it this afternoon, if you're willing to make the trip to Deadwood again so quickly.
No point in waiting. For all we know, those owl hoots are a mite confused right now, and we ought to take advantage of that if we can.
Kiefer agreed and issued the orders. By nightfall, the gold wagon was loaded and ready to go, and once again, Kiefer picked out some men to stand guard over it all night. That evening, Bo, Scratch, and Chloride stood with the superintendent on the porch of the building that housed Kiefer's office and living quarters.
The devils have never robbed any of the mines themselves, have they?
No, only stagecoaches starting out and then the gold shipments.
And they've hijacked shipments from all the mines?
That's right. Now that they hit that shipment from the Argosy, at least they've struck at all the bigger mines. There are still a few smaller claims scattered through the hills that don't produce enough color to make it worthwhile to rob them.
You're still thinking, ain't you, Bo?
Does he do that all the time?
Just trying to figure out a few things, that's all. Something about the devils doesn't quite add up to me.
What's to figure out? They're a bunch of no-good, greedy, murdering road agents. Seems pretty blasted simple to me.
You're probably right. Sometimes I make more out of things than they really are.
On that note, the men turned in for the night. Early the next morning, they were up again, getting ready to roll out on the trip to Deadwood in the cold, pale dawn. During the morning, clouds rolled in to obscure the weak, watery sunlight, and the temperature dropped even more.
Oh, liable to be some snow before we get to town. Ooh,
On the other hand, maybe that means them varmints will be more likely to leave us alone.
If the devils want to hit us again, I doubt if the weather will stop them.
Well, I don't plan on letting my guard down.
I never told you to do that. I was just pointing out that it might snow.
As a matter of fact, less than an hour later, a few powdery flurries spat down from the gunmetal gray heavens, and the old-timer gleefully pointed them out as evidence that he was right. The flurries stopped a short time after that, and those were the only flakes that fell. This shipment's arrival didn't create as big a commotion as the first one, possibly because the cold had a lot of people indoors close to their stoves. But a small crowd did gather in front of the bank to watch the crates of gold being unloaded. Once again, Bo watched the clerks place the gold in the vault, while Scratch and Chloride kept an eye on the crates that hadn't been unloaded yet. That was still going on when Scratch stuck his head inside the bank's front door.
Bo, you better come take a look at this.
Bo hurried out of the bank and joined Scratch and Chloride next to the wagon. They looked down the street toward the eastern end of the settlement, where a troop of blue-uniformed cavalry was riding into Deadwood. It wasn't a big patrol, about 30 men led by a lieutenant and a grizzled sergeant. They rode to the middle of town and reined in, and by that time, word of what was going on had reached the sheriff's office. Sheriff Henry Manning strode up as the young officer dismounted.
Lieutenant! What's going on here? Are you and your men in pursuit of hostiles? I haven't heard anything about the Indians being on the warpath again.
And who are you, sir?
Henry Manning. I'm the sheriff around here.
Lieutenant Vance Holbrook reporting as ordered, sir. I'm to make myself and my men available to you.
Available to me? What for?
I'll tell you what for, Sheriff. A number of the mine owners got together and sent a letter to Washington several weeks ago requesting assistance with the plague of lawlessness that has erupted in the Black Hills in recent months. At first, the Justice Department was just going to send in a United States Marshal, but we prevailed upon the authorities to reconsider that decision and assign a troop of cavalry to Deadwood instead. The problem of the Deadwood Devils is too big for one man to handle.
Blast it, you had no right to do that. It's my place to request any outside help if I determine that it's needed.
It's also your place to stop those outlaws from ruining all the mines in the area. But you didn't seem to be accomplishing that, did you?
My primary responsibility is to keep the peace in town. No one can deny that I've done that.
Of course not, Sheriff. You've been exemplary at that part of your job. But the way things have been going, sooner or later you'll be keeping the peace in a ghost town after all the mines have shut down. The other owners and I aren't going to stand for that. My name is Lawrence Nicholson, Lieutenant Holbrook. I own the Argosy Mining Company. I'll be glad to fill you in on everything that's happened around here, and will help you carry out your orders any way I can.
Thank you, sir, but I really ought to be working with the local authorities.
No, that's all right. If you're here to catch the Deadwood Devils, Lieutenant, then by all means, you should talk to Mr. Nicholson and the other mine owners. They can tell you what you need to know. You can operate independently, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, there's no need to get your nose out of joint, Sheriff.
I'm just trying to give you what you want. Go to it, Lieutenant. You got a free hand.
Thank you, sir.
And come along to my office, Lieutenant. I'll tell you all about it.
Of course, sir.
Holbrook turned to his sergeant, a stocky, middle-aged man with a drooping, gray-streaked mustache.
Sergeant, locate a suitable place to camp and have the men fall out and set up their tents.
Begging your pardon, Lieutenant, but tents are going to be sort of cold in weather like this.
And what would you have me do? Put the company up at the hotel? Carry out my orders, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Scratch, Bo, and Chloride watched the sergeant lead the troopers past the bank.
Well, what do you think about that?
It's pretty interesting. Makes me think twice about some of the ideas in my head. I had to ponder on it.
You reckon them soldier boys will be able to chase down the devils?
Yeah, we'll see. Right now, we need to make sure that the rest of this gold gets unloaded and locked in the vault. And then I want to let Miss Sutton know that we made it all right.
Martha Sutton was already aware of that. She looked up from her desk with a smile when the three men came in.
I was just about to head down to the bank as soon as I finished up this paperwork.
No need for you to do that.
Bo handed her the receipt Jerome Davenport had given him. Martha looked at the paper with shining eyes.
This is wonderful. Now I can afford to pay at least some of the back wages I owe, including everything that I owe the three of you.
We're no hurry.
No, I'm going to settle up with you. I insist. If it wasn't for the three of you, I might have been forced to give up by now.
What do you mean by give up?
Well, I suppose I would have sold the mine. Lawrence Nicholson has been offering to buy me out, practically ever since my father died. There's been interest from some other companies, too.
You might have been able to get enough money to live on for a long time.
But not what the mine's worth. And giving up and selling out? Well, my father never would have done it. And I can be at least as stubborn as he would have been, can't I?
I never met Mike Sutton, but I'd say you come by it honest, miss. We'll be going now. Tomorrow we'll take the wagon back up to the mine, and then Chloride plans to stay there until the next shipment is ready to bring down.
If that's all right with you, miss.
Of course. What about the two of you?
I reckon we'll have to play that by ear. We'll be scouting around, though, trying to get a line on those road agents.
You mean trying not to get in the way of them soldier boys?
Soldiers? What soldiers?
You haven't heard? A troop of cavalry rode in a little while ago. It seems that without anybody knowing about it, Nicholson and some of the other mine owners sent word to Washington asking for help cleaning things up around here. You weren't part of that?
Lawrence Nicholson and the other owners don't confide in me, Bo. They don't think a woman should be running a mining company in the first place, so naturally they don't include me in their plans. But I'm a little surprised the government would send in the army to catch some outlaws, even if it is just a cavalry patrol.
The gold that comes out of the Black Hills means a lot to the government. They need it for all the coins they mint and to keep another financial panic from brewing.
I suppose that's true. Surely the cavalry will be able to find an outlaw gang.
I don't know. They didn't do such a good job of rounding up all those Injuns that massacred Custer and his boys. Fact is, a lot of the chiefs made it across the border into Canada before General Crook could catch up to them.
Maybe Lieutenant Holbrook will have better luck. Come on.
The three men left the office. They had already seen to it that the horses and mules were put up for the night at the livery stable, out of the cold, in nice warm stalls. Now they dealt with their own accommodations, stopping in at the hotel to make sure they had rooms, before heading to the Red Top Cafe for supper. Sue Beth Pendleton greeted them with her usual friendly smile as the three men came up to the counter.
I heard you were back with another shipment from the Golden Queen. It's quite a big day for Deadwood. Another gold shipment gets through, and the cavalry shows up to chase down the devils.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that last part.
You don't think the soldiers will be able to deal with those outlaws?
I ain't got a heap of confidence, let's put it that way.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Chloride. Those killers and thieves have been a blight on these parts for long enough. I suppose you're here for supper? It's beef stew tonight, piping hot.
Sounds mighty good to me, ma'am.
By the way, where is that turkey?
We didn't spy nary a gobbler when we were gone. But I ain't giving up. It won't be Thanksgiving for a few more days yet.
They sat at a table this time. Sue Beth brought over bowls of steaming stew and a plate full of thick slices of sourdough bread. After a day on the trail, Bo, Scratch, and Chloride attacked the food with gusto. They were still eating when the cafe's front door opened, letting in some chilly air and the intimidating presence of the sergeant who had ridden in earlier with Lieutenant Holbrook. As the non-com closed the door behind him, he looked around the room. After a moment, his gaze settled on Bo, Scratch, and Chloride, and to Bo's surprise, the sergeant came toward them with a heavy, determined stride and stopped next to their table.
Are you men Creel, Morton, and Coleman?
That's right. What can we do for you, Sergeant?
The sergeant unsnapped the flap of his holster and rested his hand on the butt of his revolver.
You can come with me. That's what you can do.
Are we under arrest, Sergeant?
No. But the lieutenant told me to bring you, and he didn't make no bones about it. I won't be taking no for an answer.
Why does he want to see us?
He didn't tell me, and it ain't my place to ask. Now, are you coming along peaceful-like?
Back to your camp?
No. He's over at the hotel.
We haven't finished our supper yet. Why don't you sit down and have a cup of coffee while you wait?
The lieutenant told me to find you and bring you.
Well, there's no way of telling how long it took you to find us, now is there?
I looked several places for you before I got here. I don't suppose Lieutenant Holbrook would know exactly how many places I had to search to find you.
Sue Beth, could we get another cup of coffee over here?
Right away!
The sergeant snapped his holster flap, pulled out the empty chair at the table, and sank wearily into it.
We've been in the saddle all day for several days getting here, but that's the army for you. I can't complain.
You can, it just won't do any good. We haven't been properly introduced. I'm Bo Creel, that's Scratch Morton, and the old-timer is Clorox Coleman.
Sergeant Olaf Gustafsson.
You've been wearing the blue for a while, haven't you, Sarge?
My first campaign was the Mexican War, if that tells you anything.
We missed that one.
And we done fought the Mexicans already at a little place called San Jacinto. Figured it'd be all right if we sat the next one out.
Texans, eh?
I ain't. I'm just riding with them these days.
That's even worse. You got a choice in the matter.
There are some who might take offense at that. We'll let it pass, though. Figuring that being an ignorant Scandahoovian, you just don't know any better.
Sue Beth arrived at the table with cup and saucer and the coffee pot. She filled the sergeant's cup.
I'm much obliged to you, ma'am.
You're welcome, Sergeant. Thank you for not causing a scene.
Are you sure you don't know why the lieutenant wants to see us, Olaf?
Well, I'm not sure, but when I got back to the hotel to report to the lieutenant that the camp was set up, I heard him and that Nicholson fella talking about how the three of you are the only ones who have taken on these so-called devils and lived to tell the tale. I won't swear to it, but I got a hunch Lieutenant Holbrook wants to draft you fellas into scouting for us.
To help you find the devil's hideout, you mean?
Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
We've looked for it already. Nary any luck so far.
They've got to be around here somewhere, otherwise they couldn't keep holding up those gold shipments. And all the gold they've already stolen has to be somewhere, too.
We'll help, if that's what the lieutenant wants. Otherwise, we're going to risk getting in each other's way, because Scratch and I intend to keep looking for the gang.
What about this old fella?
I can speak for myself, and I'm going back up to the Golden Queen mine to wait for the next shipment of gold to be ready. I ain't no dang outlaw hunter like these two.
After a bounty, eh?
That's not exactly how he meant it.
But if there's a reward, we wouldn't mind claiming it.
Well, you'll have to talk to somebody else about that. The only money I ever see is my wages, and damn little of that. You're done eating. Come on. Mighty fine coffee, ma'am. It's on these fellas.
I already added it to their tab, Sergeant.
Good looking and efficient.
The four men huddled in their coats as they walked along the street to the Grand Central Hotel. The wind, whipping through Deadwood streets, clawed at them like icy fingers. Beau was glad to get back inside and relished the warmth coming from the stoves scattered around the hotel's lobby and dining room. Sergeant Gustafsson pointed to a doorway in the dining room.
Lieutenant Holbrook and that fella Nicholson are in a private room over there.
Yes, who is it?
It's me, Lieutenant. I've got those men you sent me to find.
All right, Sergeant. Bring them in.
Gustafsson gestured for Beau, Scratch, and Chloride to go in. The lieutenant and Lawrence Nicholson were seated at a table with glasses and a bottle of whiskey in front of them. With his hat off, Holbrook looked even younger, if that was possible. He had sandy hair and a somewhat angular face.
Please, gentlemen, come in. That'll be all, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Have a seat. Would you like to help yourselves to a drink?
I would.
I reckon I could do with one, too.
Thanks anyway, but I'll pass.
Well, thank you for coming so promptly.
Sergeant Gustafsson didn't leave us much choice in the matter. He's a good man.
I'll get right to the point. Since you men are civilians, I can't order you to do anything.
Not without placing the town under martial law, which the lieutenant and I have agreed isn't necessary or advisable at this point.
Why don't you just tell us what you want, Lieutenant? Then we can tell you whether or not we'll go along with it.
Fine. I'd like you to serve as scouts and to help me locate the headquarters of the outlaw band known variously as the Deadwood Devils and the Devils of Deadwood Gulch. And Mr. Nicholson here tells me that the three of you have had more experience with them than anyone else. Anyone still alive, that is.
We've tangled with them a few times. We couldn't identify any of them, though, and we don't know where they hole up.
Still, I need some experienced men to help me in my search. I've been charged with bringing them to justice, Mr. Creel, and I intend to do so no matter what it takes. I can offer you scouts' wages.
Not me. I already got a job. I drive for the Golden Queen Mining Company, and I'm heading back up to the mine in the morning.
Mr. Coleman here is a former employee of mine, Lieutenant, and I can tell you that it won't do any good to argue with him. He's every bit as stubborn as those mules he drives.
I reckon you didn't mean it as such, but I'll take that as a compliment, Nicholson.
What about you two? Are you interested in helping to put a stop to the plague of lawlessness in this area?
Damn right we are. Bo?
I reckon we can come to an agreement, Lieutenant. Chloride is going to be taking the Golden Queen's wagon back up the gulch to the mine tomorrow. I suggest that you and your troop accompany him as an escort, and Scratch and I will come along too.
A military escort? I sort of like the sound of that.
I'm not sure it would be proper to be seen as favoring one mine operation over another.
Don't worry about that, Lieutenant. You'll need to be heading in that direction anyway to begin your search. So I don't see anything improper in riding that way at the same time as Mr. Coleman is returning in the wagon.
Well, all right, if you're sure.
It's settled then. I think we should have a drink on it. To the end of the Deadwood Devils.
To the end of the Deadwood Devils.
The next morning dawned very cold, but clear. The clouds that brought the snow flurries the day before having moved on. As the sun rose, the wagon with chloride at the reins rolled out of Deadwood. It didn't carry any supplies this time, but in the compartment under the seat rode a canvas pouch containing a partial payroll for the miners of the Golden Queen. Martha couldn't yet afford to pay them everything she owed them, but it was a good start. When they stopped at midday, Lieutenant Holbrook came over to Bo and Scratch.
When will we reach this mine?
Probably around the middle of the afternoon. We can make better time with an empty wagon than with one loaded down with gold.
Good. That will give us time to begin our search for the outlaws' hideout today.
You don't want to spend the night at the mine and start looking in the morning?
And waste several hours? I think not.
Well, that's fine, Lieutenant. Don't get your hopes up too high, though. This is a smart bunch. They ain't gonna be easy to find.
Well, we won't find them if we don't look, will we?
We've run across shave tails like that one before.
Yeah, and they usually wind up in trouble. We may have our work cut out for us, partner.
We usually do.
The little caravan arrived at the mine in the middle of the afternoon, as Bo predicted. Andrew Kiefer was surprised to see the cavalry, and so were the other men.
Any sign of those outlaws in the past 2 days?
No, but that's to be expected. They don't bother the mines themselves. They just hold up anybody who tries to get any gold out over the trail to Deadwood.
We'll soon put a stop to that. We'll rest the horses for a quarter of an hour and then pull out. Do you two have a plan as to where we'll begin the search?
I've been thinking on it. Mr. Kiefer, do you have a map of the area in your office?
Several of them. Do you want to have a look?
I wouldn't mind.
You go ahead, Bo. I'll tend to the horses and make sure they get watered.
You'll have to break the ice in the trough. It keeps freezing over.
Scratch nodded and led the mounts toward the corral. Sergeant Gustafson was already making sure the enlisted men cared for their horses. Bo went into the superintendent's office with Kiefer. Lieutenant Holbrook followed. Kiefer cleared off his desk, took several maps from a map case on the wall, and unrolled one of them on top of the desk. All three men gathered around it. It was a topographical map, and Bo had no trouble picking out Deadwood Gulch, Whitewood Gulch, and the numerous smaller canyons.
Where are all the big mines?
The Homestake, the Father DeSmet, the Argosy, the Golden Queen, right here, of course.
Kiefer named off half a dozen others and tapped their locations on the map.
All the mines are located in the gulches instead of on top of the ridges?
Well, yes. It's not necessarily easier to dig a shaft horizontally than it is to sink one vertically, but it's easier to get the ore out of the horizontal shafts. Plus, the pockets of gold-bearing quartz tend to run horizontally, although they can take off at strange angles in some cases.
Bo leaned over the map and paid particular attention to the locations of the Argosy and the Golden Queen relative to each other. The Argosy was on the southern slope of Deadwood Gulch, while the Golden Queen was on the northern side of the smaller canyon. That meant there was nothing between the two mines except a ridge that was about a mile wide.
What's up here?
You mean on top of that ridge?
I mean on top of all the ridges.
Not much of anything as far as I know. Trees and a lot of rocks.
So there's no reason for any of the miners to go up there?
Oh, no. All our work is down in the gulches.
I know what you're thinking, Creel. You believe that the outlaws are hiding on top of one of these ridges.
It's a possibility. The gulches are pretty heavily traveled, or at least they were until the devil started, raising hell.
Most of the slopes around here are pretty steep. It would be hard getting horses up and down them. A lot of places it would be impossible.
But it wouldn't have to be a lot of places you could reach the top on horseback. Just one good one.
Then that's where we'll start.
Any chance we can take this map with us?
Oh, I've got others. You're welcome to that one.
Is there a place around here we can get up on the ridge? I didn't see any between here and Deadwood Gulch.
Keep going up the canyon. The slope gets a little easier after about a mile.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Kiefer.
Well, my pleasure. I hope you find the scoundrels and deal harshly with them when you do.
You can rest assured of that, sir, on both counts.
Beau still thought they should wait until morning to begin the search, but Holbrook wouldn't hear of it. He liked Beau's idea that the outlaw hideout was located somewhere on top of one of the ridges and wanted to put it to the test. As the troops got ready to move out, Chloride came up to Beau and Scratch.
You fellas be careful out there. I've seen men like that lieutenant before. They think they know everything, and before you know it, they're neck deep in trouble. Don't let him get you killed.
Don't worry, we'll try not to.
I got a hunch Sergeant Gustafson knows what he's doing. He can steer the lieutenant in the right direction.
If Holbrook will listen to him, I'm betting the odds are against that.
Don't worry about us, old-timer. We can take care of ourselves.
There you go again with that old-timer business. I swear I... Oh, what the hell? I am older than you. Probably ain't many who can say that. Well, good luck, boys.
The Texans both shook with him. Then mounted up. Gustafson had the troopers ready to ride.
Give the order, Sergeant.
Forward!
Gustafson waved the men forward as Holbrook, Beau, and Scratch led the way. Some of the miners turned out to watch. They waved their caps over their heads as the cavalrymen trotted away, moving deeper into the canyon. As Kiefer had said, after the riders had gone about a mile, the slope of the canyon to their right fell away at a gentler angle. He pointed that out to Holbrook.
Look here, Lieutenant. That slope may be covered with trees and rocks, but if we all dismount, we might be able to lead our horses to the top. Let Scratch and me try it first.
Very well.
The lieutenant signaled a halt. The Texans rode to the base of the slope and swung down from their saddles. Holding tight to the reins, they started up. The horses balked a little at first, but soon came on, climbing the slope with relative ease. Beau and Scratch tried to pick the route that would give the animals the least trouble. When they made it to the top of the ridge, they found themselves with a spectacular view spread out before them. The ridge was almost a mile wide, Beau knew from studying the map in Andrew Kiefer's office, and while it was covered with thick stands of trees and a jumble of boulders, it was fairly level, unlike some of the ridges that came to an almost razor-like crest. This one twisted off to the southwest for several miles before rising into higher, even more rugged terrain. The late afternoon sun washed over the Black Hills in all their rugged glory.
Do we have to go back down there and fetch that stiff-necked lieutenant?
I reckon we'd better. He and those troopers will come in handy when we find the devils.
You don't figure we can handle that bunch of owl hoots by ourselves?
Well, maybe, but I'd rather have the cavalry on our side, too. I'll go back down. You take a look around up here.
Beau handed Scratch his reins. Going down the hill was almost as painful for stiff joints as climbing up it. But Beau was soon back on the floor of the canyon with Lieutenant Holbrook, Sergeant Gustafson, and the rest of the patrol.
The way up is manageable. Follow me.
The soldiers led their mounts by the reins, like Beau and Scratch had. It was slow going, since they had to proceed single file. But eventually, all the troopers made it to the top of the ridge. By that time, the sun had sunk considerably lower.
If we keep going, Lieutenant, we run the risk of falling off a cliff in a bad light. It would be better to make camp here.
All right. Sergeant, tell the men to make camp. There's enough level ground here to pitch the tents.
Yes, sir.
We're making camp here for the night. You men start pitching your tents and building cook fires.
It might be a good idea to keep those fires small, Sergeant. Hide them amongst the rocks, too.
Why would we want to do that?
Build big fires and you're telling the world where you are.
You mean we'll be announcing our position to the enemy?
That's what he just said.
It's cold up here. The men need hot food and they need warmth from the fires as well. Sergeant, have the men build their fires as big as they can.
Lieutenant.
Really, Mr. Creel. If these so-called devils are as cunning as everyone seems to believe they are, don't you think they already know we're out here looking for them?
As much as Beau hated to admit it, Holbrook had a point. Everybody in Deadwood had heard about how the cavalry was riding out today to look for the outlaws and their hideout. At the very least, the devils had spies in the settlement. Still, having the devils know that they were somewhere in the Black Hills was a heap different from making their exact location obvious to anybody with eyes for miles around. Beau could only hope that Holbrook's stubbornness wouldn't come back to cause trouble for them.